really can't get over how the Church of Christ, we call it the Church of Christ, so called, I can't get over how much interest they show in hearing the truth of hell by Mr. Donahue and his people. Oh, they said, we want you to come to Aberdeen. Our people wants to hear you. Got down there and they had rented a school. The church weren't big enough to hold everybody. So after a while, we went back to the church and it would hold us all twice and then some, but they didn't even have anybody there. I believe the debater's wife was there, but he asked, could he use our moderator? Though they just love to hear the truth expounded. It's amazing. I say, about all of the True Light Church is here present today. I'm going to go back. You didn't seem to think your own sword got your head, Mr. Donahue. You said Christ told the whole truth as to what it takes to obtain eternal salvation. And I read where he said, he that heareth my word and believeth has passed from death unto life and shall never come under condemnation. That's once saved, always saved. I said, I'd take your own sword and take your head off with it as David did Goliath. But I'm going to come at it from to show you that these people you think comes into the church and they're saints and so forth, I'm going to show you what Christ called them. I'm going to call your attention to Matthew 13th chapter, 24th, 25th verse. And here I've got, there is positively no risk whatsoever for an elect soul being lost. Not a shadow of a risk. But listen, they asked Christ a question. This is red letter I'm reading, but that doesn't make it any more true than if it was black. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Now look at it. Christ's field is the church. And Christ sowed good seed in it, and nothing but good seed. I believe his word verifies that here. But while men slept, his enemy, this is how these people creep in that you call brethren and Christians and so forth. He says, an enemy came while men slept and sowed tares among the wheat. Tares are the opposite of the wheat. Tares are the wicked, the non-elect. The wheat is called, every grain of wheat he must save. That's the good seed. That's called the elect. Now listen, he goes on and says, they questioned him, why? Why? How did these tares get in your field? His field is his church, Mr. Jackson. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The Son is capitalized. I understand that's Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God, who sowed good seed in his church. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The field is the world. Right? The world is they that the enemy sowed tares in. The world is full of tares, and there's a few seed, Christ said, few there be. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's the elect, Mr. Donahue. But the tares are the children of the devil. This is the people you're calling brethren and saints and so forth that comes in and gets out. Listen, if he makes it clear they don't get in and get out, listen, look. See if this don't get your head with a double-edged sword, so to speak. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. God didn't plant them, but he allowed them to be planted. There's a purpose of them to be planted. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. Now, angels don't necessarily mean holy angels. There's a death angel, and there's the devil and his angels. You've caught that in the scripture, surely, in your lifetime, that the devil has his angels. He sows his angels in the church also. But they're not holy angels. All right, I'll go a little further. Matthew 13:28. He said unto them, an enemy has done this. He didn't do it. He didn't bring them in. It was the devil that sowed them. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? Gather these tares out from among the wheat? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up these tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. All things must work together for the good of the elect. He didn't allow it. So we don't know how to rightly divide. We can't tell an elect from a non-elect to look at him. We can't tell he's a saint by looking at him. But sometimes the Lord manifests what he is by letting him show what he is. We've seen that in the church. That's people the devil. So that's not brethren going out. But we call them brethren while they're with us because we can't detect who is an elect and who is not. The devil sows people in the church. We don't know how to rightly divide, but he does. He said, leave them alone. I'll gather. I'll send my angels and gather them out when the time comes. He knows how. We don't. And another scripture says where Christ sows, he gathers. He don't sow good seed in his church and not gather that soul in. So I said, I've got a prophecy here that the end of this battle of Armageddon between two that calls themselves the true Church of Christ, you all, we call ourselves the true church. I'll say it's going to be made as vivid as it was when David got Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. Your own word got your head in this. That is the whole truth. When we believe, we never come into condemnation. That's Christ's word. You say that's the whole truth of obtaining eternal salvation. That's your word. I said it's going to be made as clear as it was with David. How am I saying that? The scriptures prophesy it. Says it will. Says the Lamb will overcome. And there's another instance where it was made very clear. That was when Elijah offered his sacrifice and God consumed his offering. And when the priest of Baal offered theirs and they cut themselves, they made loud noises, they jumped up and down, but the Lord did not consume their sacrifice. I say this battle of Armageddon, according to the prophecy in Revelation, will be made as clear as it was then. And I will prophesy further that the true Church of Christ is he, is they that is preaching the same thing Christ preached. He that believeth has passed from death unto life. And about this, people being sinners and so forth, did you ever read the scripture where it said, blessed? I believe it's the 32nd Psalm. Blessed is he to whom the Lord imputeth not his sin. Whoever committed a worse sin than David, it weren't imputed to him. It was a sin of weakness. Whoever committed worse sin than Peter when he cursed and swore that he didn't know Christ. Or Paul that said he couldn't do good. He said, I would though. And this is the key. This one word is the key to salvation. The word would. All that would, Christ said, I would gather them under my wings. But they that would not, he says, he can't gather them under his wings. It's an impossibility. So I've got something here that's going to be shaking. It was shaking to me. I saw it. I saw it this week, night or two ago. I'd never seen just this. We had a preacher one time that preached that there's a common saying that everybody has a right to believe what they want to. But this preacher said, and he was a true light preacher, but he's not no more. He went out. He said, people don't have a right to believe all they want to. Says they have a privilege, but not a right. I have to differ. I hadn't differed with that till a night or two ago, I had to differ that the non-elect has no right whatsoever to believe the truth. They have no right. Why? Their birthright is sold. They have no birthright. They were predestined, appointed unto death before the world was. That can't be altered unless it can pull God off the throne and make the word of none effect. But here is four questions that covers who can be saved and who can't and why they're saved and why they can't. It's settled. It's not because they're sinless. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And I believe every Christian sees himself to be chiefest of sinners because a tender conscience sees our sins to be more severe than our brothers. But we see ourselves to be how he can save me. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. But his sins were not imputed to him because he could no more avoid sin than anybody else. No man could avoid sin. But Christ couldn't sin. There was no possible chance of Christ sinning. But his perfect righteousness is imputed to us, counted as ours, because we believe the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. But here's four questions that sums up why. Why a soul is saved and why it is not. And it's dealing with Jacob and Esau. Jacob have a love, Esau have a hating. It's four questions, but it turns into eight questions when you turn them around and apply the same question. Why did he love Jacob and why did he hate Esau? And this will cover your question of predestination if you've done and debated it, but it covers it. It covers many questions. It covers this. They have no right to believe in God. Their birthright is sold. Their seal appointed unto death eternally. God hated them eternally. All right, now I'm going to touch on these four questions. And you can't do nothing with them. Did God love Jacob eternally? Did he love him eternally? I say, absolutely. At what point would he have changed? God can't change. He's immutable. He saw everything. Surely there's nobody here don't believe God sees everything. But I believe in some of y'all's debates, you said when he saw that Abraham was going to offer up Isaac, then he stopped him. You're making Abraham God's teacher. Was Abraham teaching God something? Or was Christ teaching Peter something when he said, "You'll deny me before the cock crows," so many times? All right. The object question of that, which is just four questions. Did God hate Esau eternally? Absolutely. Is there any indication that he ever loved the devil's children? Because in the devil's children, there was no good, no right whatsoever in the wicked. No right whatsoever in the wicked. All right. Why did God love Jacob? There was a reason. There had to be a justifiable reason. He loved some and hated some. So why did God love Jacob? This is the reason. Because God saw what Jacob would do in the day of God's power when God came to him and worked faith in him. He saw he would believe and he passed from death unto eternal life and will never come into condemnation. This is Jacob. Did God hate Esau because he saw what he would do? Absolutely. God saw what Esau would do, and everyone. God is perfect in wisdom. We don't teach God. The Spirit of God, our teacher, be. I remember one time, Billy Voss, one of your preachers, was saying the Bible is our complete guide. So we debated that. I said the Holy Spirit is our complete guide. Spirit of God, our teacher, be. And in the debate, Mr. Voss said he went over in Tennessee to preach to a congregation and they wanted to know, Mr. Voss, or Brother Voss, I guess, he said, how much money do you expect for coming over here and preaching to us? You know what he told them? He said, I told them to let your conscience be your guide. I said, Mr. Voss, what did you say? You said the Bible's our complete guide. Here you're sending them to their conscience. I said, did you not send them to the Bible because you knew the Bible said freely you have received this gospel, go freely preach it? Did you think he would get more money if you told him to let their conscience be the guy? You know what he said? He said, Mr. Braswell, you've got me on this one. He had sent them away from the Bible that tells them to go preach this gospel freely. Christ told those apostles, you go preach it freely. You have received it freely. But he thought he would get more money if he sent them to their conscience instead of to the Bible. The Bible says preach this freely. Get the very idea of a man claiming to be a Christian, a loving man, but wouldn't tell you the truth of salvation except for your money. That sounds like the love of the world, don't it? All right, here's another question. There's just four questions here, but it's in reverse both ways. Was that a bad principle in Esau? Yes. Was it eternal? Yes. It didn't come in a certain place because Esau was a child of the devil. He had sold his birthright. Eternally, he had no right to believe because it takes the grace of God to believe in God. That's the grace of God. And he was not worthy of it. He didn't have no right to believe. Because God saw he was a vessel of destruction, a vessel of dishonor. Okay, was it a good principle in Jacob? Yes, God saw that Jacob would trust him, would believe on him. He loved him eternally. And he was appointed unto salvation. He was predestined to be saved eternally. So all this was settled before the world was who was going to be lost and saved. The children of the devil have nothing good about them. They have no right about them. They have nothing but wrongs. But the children, Isaac represents every one of God's elect. And, did I call it right? Isaac. And Jacob and Esau. Esau represented every one of God's non-elect. They had no right to receive God's grace of faith or grace of hope or grace of belief. They had no right to it. So the non-elect have no rights whatsoever, while the elect have a right to receive everything that is Christ. When we believe in Christ, when that work of God is done in us, we are married to Christ, and what is His is ours. But Mr. Lattimore, Mr. Donahue, the Bible is full of things the world talks about. It said it's nothing but a book of contradiction. Listen to what it says. When you're weak, then are you strong. Having nothing, yet possessing all things. How contradictory the Bible is to the natural mind. But you've got to see and know what the Lord is talking about there. Was it a good principle left in Isaac eternally? Yes, that he would do right in the day of God's power, in the day when he could. He would believe. That was a good principle. Is a good principle a good spirit? Absolutely. Is a bad principle a bad spirit? Absolutely. Did I hear you say, I have a question, that God loved Jacob because he saw what Jacob would do? This question tears the Calvinistic doctrine to shreds. They say election was based on nothing God saw a soul could or would do. One of our preachers said one time, he was walking to the mailbox and he said, I asked myself a question, is there not one thing I can do to help save my soul? He said, no, not one thing. He told the truth. But he didn't say I wouldn't do if I could. But he was like Paul, how to perform good. He couldn't do it no more than Paul could. I can't no more than you can. No man could ever perform good. God only accepts what Christ does in us. Our work is just filthy rags. So that sounded strange, but it was the truth. Not a thing. Christ says, without me you can do nothing. But with me, you can ask what ye will in my name, and it shall be done unto you. No, the brother didn't say, I wouldn't do it. And Paul didn't say, he wouldn't do it. He said, I would. But he said, how to perform it if I not? Paul and David could do more, no more righteousness than none of the rest of. But they believed, they would believe. And therefore, God had to impute a perfect righteousness, which was of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ performed a perfect righteousness. He had to impute it, count it to them as though they'd done it because God saw they would have done it if they could have done it. That's the key to salvation. All who would, God knows, and He can't be fooled in one. And all who would not, they are vessels of wrath. They are vessels of dishonor. Based on what God saw they would do as a free agent, strictly in accordance with the law of righteousness. This is Cunningham Boyle, was the founder of True Light Church. This is his view of predestination. The Calvinist says it's not based on anything God saw man could or would do. But Boyle says it is based on what God saw man would do. That puts the blame for damnation on each soul. That makes them a child of the devil. These two families of Adam's family, the children of the devil, and the devil slips among them in the church, but they're not wheat. They're not right. So, Boyle calls Calvinism the most, accuses God of being the most unjust being in existence, and I do too. To say that it's not based on something God sees we would do makes God the most unjust being in existence. It blasphemes His holy name. It calls Him a partial God. He has saved some and not saved others when He saw no difference in them. Calvin says no difference whatsoever. Thank you.